This morning, folks, we're going to be looking at praying for one another. And Brian talked about last week about loving one another and done a wonderful job. So this week you won't get that good a job. But anyway, we'll be back with him next week. So come back. It will continue. You know, folks, as I thought about praying for one another the last couple of weeks, you know, we begin to talk about a church, putting a group of people together that love the Lord, that love serving the Lord, that love doing everything that went about and in church for the Lord, not for you or for Brian or for me or for anybody, but for the Lord. And we thought about this and we prayed about it. And we just worked on this for a long time. And then one day, it was like, bam, it just happened. Tommy had a connection to the Lord. No, I'm just kidding. That's a kind of an inside joke. And so I'll tell you about that sometime. That's funny. But we prayed about it, folks, and we began to realize that there was people out there that were like ourselves that desired to have this relationship with the Lord, a stronger relationship, to have a place to come and worship that we could just share in the Lord all the time. So we look at the book of James this morning in the 5th chapter and 13th through the 16th verse. And we're talking about this morning the power of prayer and the power of praying for one another. If we come to a church as a church family, and we've put together a pretty nice church family here. I mean, it's the nicest, I believe, in any part of the West Tennessee, you know, anywhere, because y'all are what I love. I love every one of you. And so we look at this, and, you know, a church family, folks, a church is the family. Y'all are what makes up the church. Brian's been talking about on Wednesday night a healthy church. It's wonderful. You've got to have a healthy church. If you've got a sick church, it's not much going to happen from that church. You've got to have a healthy church. And so a church family, to me, is something that we need, every one of us needs. There's people walking around out here in the world, they don't have a church family. They don't know anything about a church family. Look what they're missing. Just think about what they're missing. They don't have anyone to pray for them. They don't have anyone to call upon if they have any need. There's a lot of people, folks, that don't have any family. I know a lot of people that don't have any family. So the church becomes their family. That's their next connection. They don't have any personal family, any close family, or any distant family. They're just here. And I know several, but the church becomes their family. Isn't that wonderful that you can look around and see each other this morning and know that this is my family? If I need something, I can call, you know, and I know that somebody's going to answer that call and to reply to whatever it is that I need. Well, this morning, folks, as we stop and we think about what James is saying, well, we got to also stop and think about Jesus. In John, the 17th chapter, Jesus prayed for the disciples and for you and for those that will come after you. And we'll be talking some about that this morning as well. But as we stop and we think about loving one another, praying for one another, I'm going to tell y'all, folks, I've been sick a lot in the last 25 years. I mean a lot. And I can tell you, honestly tell you, I feel the prayers when I'm sick of the people of the church. I can feel them. I can feel that difference it's making in when y'all are praying for me. And you know, it's a peace. It gives me a peace knowing that y'all are praying for me, that everyone that loves me is praying for me, and I can just feel that those prayers, is they just seem to just cover me. And it's the most awesome thing in the world. It really is. I hope you don't have to get sick to know and understand it, but so many times when we're really sick and at our rose end, it's the prayers that take us through. And God, he sees that it's our prayers that are answered. So, first of all, let's look at the scripture, and then we'll talk a little more. Starting with the 13th verse, James 5, 13. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call on the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, one another. A lot of your Bibles will say, pray for one another. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we think about praying for one another, it's pretty easy for you to say, okay, Mike, I need you to pray for me. Okay, Mike, I need you to pray for me. And the next thing you know, I've got a list up here, you know, a mile long, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't want to forget to pray for this one or forget to pray for that one. But it's easy to say, okay, I will, but then that day, when do you find time to actually sit down and pray for these people? That's kind of sometimes gets to be a deal, doesn't it, Brian? Defining the prayer time that we need. And so, as the book says, the Word of God says, that we should confess our sins to one another and pray for one another, that we all may be healed. You know, it's kind of been my experience, folks, that we don't think a lot of times that we need prayer. We think we're fine. I don't need you to pray for me. I don't need you to be praying for me in any way. I'm good. I don't have any need. One of the funniest things, one night we was in a car with this gentleman that we didn't know very well, and at that time, and he, when we got ready to let him out, he broke out some oil, and he said, I want to anoint y'all and pray over you. And I mean, how many times you go somewhere with somebody, and they get there, and they go take out the oil, and they go anoint you and pray over you. And we had this one little girl with us, and she wasn't very big. She about like Becca Ann. So he was going to pray over her too and anoint her with oil. She said, oh no, I'm good. That was so funny. Yeah, oh no, I'm good. She didn't need any of that, you know. So I think about that a lot because that's the way we are. So many times, folks, oh no, I'm good. I don't need you to be praying for me or anointing me with any oil or anything. So we begin to see that we as Christians, we as church people, we as a church family, we fail to really see the need to pray for everyone every day. And folks, it's very, very important that we pray for each other as a church. It's very important that we lift each other up. You know, James, it starts out in the 13th verse. It says, are you suffering hardships? You should pray. Well, most of the time, we wait till we have a hardship, and then we decide we need prayer. Is that the way it kind of works with everybody? We wait till we have some type of hardship hit us, sickness, or it could be anything, and then we'll say, well, we need your prayers. We got this going on. We got that going on. I'm the world's worst, folks. The world's worst. And so there's a few principles in the book of James about prayer. And I want us to just take a minute to just kind of look at these and ask yourself, each one of these, I want you to look at yourself. Because I can only look at Mike. I can't look at anyone else. There's not a soul here that I can look inside of except Mike. But I know when I look at these principles that James talks about. And if you got your Bibles, you might want to open them to the book of James. If not, just listen, folks. I love to just listen a lot of times. But we're going to be looking at the first chapter, the sixth verse here. So you can look kind of look it up if you'd like to. And then we're going to the fourth chapter for just a minute. So we're going to be in 1:6, and then we'll go to 4. So, when you pray, do you ask in faith? How is your faith when you ask God for something? You know, we pray for one another all the time. But do you truly expect what you pray for to come true? Do you truly expect God's hearing your prayer? Or are you just lifting up a prayer to the Lord hoping that it sticks? So many times that's what we do. We lift up a prayer thinking, I've done my duty. I've prayed for you today. But really and truly, where's your faith? Where is your faith? Well, James tells us in 1:6, I need to be finding it myself instead of telling y'all to. Huh? So James says, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. I'm just going to read another verse or two. Make sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with a divided loyalty is an unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. So, folks, when we think about our prayers and we pray for one another, where is your faith? Are you divided between God and between the world? Are you trying to make up your mind one way or the other? Which way am I going to live? Who am I serving today? Well, I got a job. I've got to serve this job because I got this job and I can't do without it. So is our faith in the Lord or is it in this job? This is just part of life, folks. We're living. We're living in a place right now where there's so much emphasis put on the things of this world. And so it tells us that if we're divided between who we're serving, if we're not sure about what's going on in our own life, if our faith is not strong enough in God to ask Him and to expect Him, then why in the world would we even go to Him to begin with for the petition that you're asking for? And then He tells us another principle that we should pray with the right motives. Look at the fourth chapter, the third verse. Fourth chapter, third verse. Let's see what it says. So if you pray for the right motive, with the right motive, let me find it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You ever thought about that, folks? When we ask God for something, are we praying for something that is not going to have any effect at all on us either way? But so many times we pray for something and we want it to benefit us when it's all said and done. That's what we want. We desire for that motive to be something that will have a benefit for us. You know? So many times, folks, you pray for things, and then you wonder, how's He going to answer that prayer? How would He answer that prayer? Have you ever done that? Prayed for something and wonder, how's God going to answer my prayer? Well, one time I was praying for a different job. And I was praying for this job for quite a while. And one morning I was going down the road, and just about as clear as anything, I heard this voice say, "Turn in, put your application in right here." I said, "They don't hire people. They don't have turnovers. People don't quit that place. People don't, they don't have any reason to need me." "Okay, do it your way." I went on down the road about a half a mile, and there was a pretty good little parking lot. I just spun it around. I come right back, and I walked in there, and I said, my first words was, I said, "You know, I'd like to put in an application. I know y'all don't hire anybody because you don't never have anybody quit. Unless somebody dies, there's no need for y'all to need any help." He said, "You're exactly right, young man." He said, you got it pegged just exactly right. But he said, "I've just been thinking about adding one more person." He said, "Have a seat and talk to me." I said, "Really?" And I'm thinking, Lord just told me to do that. And I did, and it worked just like that. But folks, if we're not listening, if our motive when we're praying is not correct in the right way, if our faith is not that it's going to happen, then it probably won't happen. And if you're not listening, you're not going to hear him say that anyway. But I heard that morning exactly what God was telling me. And folks, at that given moment, it was exactly what we needed as a family. It was a great hardship for me, but it was what we needed financially for the family. And God allowed me to go to work there. And I worked there for quite a while. You got to be listening, folks. But the next principle is we got to listen to God's will. If it's not God's will that we're praying for, it's probably not going to happen. Look at James 4:15. Look at 4:15. Matter of fact, I'm going to read 13 through 15 because this is where we're talking about this morning. "Look here, you who say, tomorrow or tomorrow we're going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. Will we do business there and make a profit? How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here, and then in a little while, it's gone." 15th verse. "What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that." If the Lord wants us to, God's will. How did he teach us to pray, folks? God's will be done. God's will be done. But all the time in my life, folks, God's will be done. I'm always saying, "Yeah, Lord, I understand that your will be done, but I want you to hear what I got to say. I need you to help me here. I need you to talk to me. Come help me. I want my will to be done." It doesn't work that way, folks. If it's God's will what you're asking for, if it's something that will benefit God and benefit his family, his church family, the people here on this earth, his kingdom, if it's his will, then what? It will be done. If God's will be done. And then, folks, when we're praying for others, we pray every day for someone. I know you do because I do, and I know everyone else does. But what's your relationship with others really like? What's your relationship with others really like? Well, let's say, Lord, now you got to ask yourself this. I don't know because I just know Mike. But I'll tell you about Mike. I don't care to tell you about Mike. All I know is, well, Lord, I've got about 10, 12 over here that I don't mind praying for. This other bunch over here, I don't know. I mean, they're not teaching me much. They're not showing me anything. They're not responding to anything I'm telling them. And folks, I see this every day. Do you continue to pray for them? Is your relationship with them where it should be? Your relationship with others makes a difference. In James 4, 1 and 2, it says, what is causing the quarrels and the fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. That sounds like David, doesn't it? Remember David in the Bible? He done a whole lot of that right there. Yet God said he's a man of my own soul. You know, I love him to death. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love us, folks. It means that he wants us to take time to be in the right relationship with others. It's hard. It's hard to love these people. You can like them, kind of, sort of, but it's hard to love them. It really is. But that's what the Lord is desiring for us to do. And when you stop and you look at what we read for the pouring of the water this morning in Psalm 66, he says, let me tell you what God has done for me. But what happened? God didn't do it for him until, what did he do? He confessed his sins. And that's what it just told us in the word that we read a while ago. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. It didn't happen until the psalmist confessed his sins. Was any of his prayers answered? So folks, we see this, that we need to confess our sins to others. If you've got a problem with another one, you need to tell him, I forgive you. There's no problem between me and you anymore. Now you can do with it what you want to, but I've got no problem with you. You can go on out the door, do with it whatever you want to do. He might come back tomorrow. He might tell you right then, let this thing pass too. But he may come back tomorrow after thinking about it, or maybe a year from now, or maybe 10 years from now. And he may say, you know, I don't have a problem with that either. But you've done your part. You've confessed your sin to him and to others and to God. Confess our sins. We don't want to do that, do we? We don't want anybody to know what we've done. I'm sure not going to confess my sin, you know. Not going to do it. There was three preachers fishing one day, Dan, and they said, we better confess our sins to each other. And this one preacher said, well, I take a little nip, you know. He said, well, that's just a nip. That's not going to hurt you. And that other preacher said, well, you know, I visit Aunt Sally down the road down here, our cousin Sally, and said, I kind of like women. And he said, well, you shouldn't be doing that. And the third preacher said, he ain't saying a word. He said, what's your sin? He said, I can't keep my mouth shut. You know, I can't keep my mouth shut. Isn't that the way a whole lot of us are? We cannot keep our mouth shut. And so that is a big sin, folks. James tells us about our tongue. He tells us about confessing our sin and the things that we're doing. You just don't run out here and tell everybody everything you've done, but you tell God. Confess that sin to God. Tell him, I know, Lord, you know my heart. I know, Lord, you know what I have on my heart. You know how I feel, Lord, and I want to confess that sin to you because I want to be able to pray with an open and clean heart. That's what I desire, Lord. Praying for one another is very, very important, folks. It's very important as a church that we pray for one another. We pray for our world. We pray for our communities. It's very important. But folks, if you're sitting around harboring up a bunch of stuff in your heart and you don't want to forgive this one, but you'll forgive that one, and you want to pray for this one but not that one, it's no reason to do it. Because God knows your heart. He knows who you are and what you are. You know, lots and lots of times, folks, I drive a lot. Used to drive a whole lot. Now I still drive some, more than most. The best time in the world is turn the radio off and just think about the Lord. Just think about the Lord. Spend that time with the Lord. And that way you don't have any distractions. And there's so many times when you're spending time with the Lord, if you hadn't got time to just sit down or go to your prayer closet and shut the door, use that windshield time to spend that time with the Lord. Use that time to think about what it is that I need to talk to you about, Lord. What is it that I need to talk about? You know, I heard yesterday they said a lot of times, you know, that walking or riding in a car with a kid or walking along with a kid and a kid beside you, they'll talk to you. They'll talk to you more riding along in a car or walking along beside you down a path than they will when you set them down and say, all right, I'm going to have a talk with you, Brian. You go look at me. They're not going to talk to you. They go shut up. Because you're not making that eye-to-eye contact. And I have found, folks, that a lot of times when we're riding in the car or riding down the road, it's like I can talk to the Lord. I can tell Him what's on my heart. I can tell Him the sins I need to confess because I'm not really looking at Him eye to eye. He's just riding with me. I can have a conversation with my grandkids, and my kids I always have in the car or truck a lot easier, better than I can sitting at the kitchen table. So you have to stop and you have to think about what is it when I'm in the vehicle, when I'm going, I'm traveling, especially by yourself, that you can use this time to spend with the Lord. Folks, there's so many things that we love to do. I love to listen to different things on the radio, and it'll consume your time if you let it. Television is the very same way. You go home, turn that TV on, and you'll sit in front of it. You'll watch it. You'll take a nap, and you've not even thought about the Lord. So, folks, we have to know ourselves before we can pray for the Lord. Before we can pray to the Lord for anyone else, we got to know ourselves. That's what makes a healthy church, like Brian's talking about on Wednesday night. We want a healthy church. We want a church where we know everybody's on the same page. But is everybody really on the same page, or is everybody kind of doing what they want to do and then they come to church on Sunday morning? How healthy are we? How healthy are we? I know, folks, from being sick a lot in the last 25 years that it's pretty easy to get to feeling better and kind of forget about a lot of the things that we need to be doing to keep ourselves healthy. But you have to be thinking about God daily. You think about what you put into your bodies. You think about the things that you eat and drink. Think about God. Think about how we're treating Him. We are the body of Christ. This church is His body. We make up His body. And folks, I hope that we understand it's very, very important to treat our bodies as His temple because that's what we are. It's important to be able to talk to Him and to be in communion with Him every day of our life. Every day. And so today, as we think about the 3,000 plus that passed 21 years ago today, I just wonder about these people. I wonder if they had known that morning was going to change, would it have been different? If they weren't going to have that next night, would it have been different? Folks, we don't know what tomorrow night's going to bring or tonight's going to bring or 3 days from now. Look at the Queen. She was on TV on Tuesday, and then she's gone. I mean, you know, that's a figure that we all look at that everybody sees. She was here and she's gone. It doesn't matter who you are. We all are given a certain amount of days here on this earth. So, folks, I hope you take this and just think about it. I hope you think about this, that your prayer time. I want you to pray for me. I ask you to pray for me every day because I need it. I need it. And I know Brian would tell you the very same thing. Please pray for us because this is a hard place to be sometimes. And Brian's in a double hard place to be. He's dealing with death every day, plus trying to pastor, plus trying to do the things that he does. That's hard. I don't care what he says. He may tell you it ain't hard, but I know it's hard. Yeah, it's hard because he's got to be honest. He shakes his head, yes. He's in a very hard spot. So, folks, please pray for us. But first, examine your own heart. Confess your sins. And when somebody in the back seat wants to anoint you with oil, say, that's good with me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.